Have here from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. It reads, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." Verse 18. "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." And finally, verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Amen. Father, would you meet us here now in the scriptures, and we've come here today in faith to have a real meeting with you. We've come here today in faith not only to have an audience with you, Lord, but to enjoy your presence, to learn from you. So we're listening. We ask you, Lord, to speak. Speak, Lord. We, your people, listen. Grant us the grace to hear what you have to say. Grant us the grace to apply it rightly to our lives, and the grace to order our lives according to your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. All right. Our subject for today is After God's Glory is Revealed. After God's Glory is Revealed. And you might remember, by way of review real quick, that what we have seen is that God sent an angel with the gospel message to these shepherds, right? We saw that early on in chapter 2. Then we saw that the glory of God captured these shepherds' attention. And I say to you again, if you have been in God's presence, if you have been in God's presence and really known that you were in his presence, it is awe-striking. Yes? There's nothing like the presence of God. The psalmist says, in the presence of God is what? Fullness of joy. You enjoy it as a Christian when you're in God's presence. You ought to be terrified if you're not a Christian and you come into God's presence. Right? Because he alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. But the Christian should enjoy the presence of God. The angel then delivered this gospel message to these shepherds. We saw that the angel gave these shepherds a sign. They said, you will go and you'll find this baby. And this God always makes sure that when we are seeking, he gives us he provides a way for us to find, right? Seek me and I shall be found, right? And so he gave them a sign so that they could identify the Savior. Then we saw this army of angels that showed up there in the night. This army of angels, they're praising God. Glory to God in the highest. What an amazing scene that must have been. And so what I want to talk about for a few minutes today then is what happened after that? What happened after this glorious experience? This glorious experience where this angel has come, the glory of God has been revealed, the sky has been lit up with this army of angels praising God. They've gotten their commission. So what happens after that? I want to kind of wrap our thoughts around this quickly. And you remember, always when we look at the scriptures, we're not just looking to get smart, right? We're not just looking for information, but we're looking to find out how it can help my life. Yes? Amen. That's really all I'm asking you today. I know that we've got a number of people out today, but I want you to, God brought you here, yes? Amen. And because you're here, we believe that God brought you here for a purpose. Amen. So would you listen to see what you might glean as we spend these few minutes together in the scriptures. I want to use this to kind of help structure our thinking. What we're going to look at first is the shepherd's response to what they experienced. Then we're going to look at Mary's response to what we've seen here. And then finally what I call the public's response. We're going to take those, kind of unpack them to see. I believe that you and I fit in this, in these three categories. And so I want us to think about where I might fit once I have heard from God, right? So initially, then, let's look at the shepherd's response. So if you go back to our text in verse 15, you see, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." I call that consideration. When God says something to me, I need to, what, consider it. You understand what I'm saying? That's the reason I call it consideration. So the witnesses now take time to consider what they have experienced. If you have heard from God, please, please, please take the time to what? Consider it. What a privilege it is for God to speak to you. What a disservice it is for you to treat it as trite and as if he said nothing. The same way a parent feels when they have taken the time to sit their child down and give them important information, and the child gets up as if the parent said what? Nothing. You see that? If God takes the time to speak, I at least ought to what? Give it some serious consideration. So that's what these shepherds did. They talked about what they had experienced, and they concluded that they should go to Bethlehem, what? To get first-hand knowledge. You see, when you have had your own experience with God, you don't want just to get second-hand knowledge. I mean, I love hearing your testimony. But ultimately, I want what? I want my own. Yes? I want to go see for what? For myself. I want to have dealings with Jesus for myself. I love hearing about what he did for you, but I want to know myself. Yes? And so they went to Bethlehem to get first-hand knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? When you have had personal dealings with God, nothing else will do. Right? I know God has saved me. So I don't need other things to motivate me. He's enough for me. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Uh-huh. I want more of what? Him.
Yes.
I've been the other route. I've had more of the world than I can stand. I don't need any more of that. Yes? I've got drunk with the world. I mean, literally, physically, spiritually, all of it. Yes? And so now that I have tasted, how does the Bible say? Taste and what? See. I know the Lord is good, so I want what? More of that.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying here. They've already had this experience, and what do they want? More. More first-hand experience. You follow me? That's what I mean by consideration. I thought about this, and I want you to listen to this. Just think about it with me. I'm trying to pull this all together. These shepherds worked for somebody who owned the sheep. You understand? They had the owner of those sheep had employed these shepherds to take care of them. But they counted the cost, and they decided, I'd rather obey God and lose my job than to keep this job and disobey God. You see the difference?
Uh-huh.
When you have heard from God, nothing else matters. If it means I got to walk away from a job, you understand? So these shepherds counted the cost. And they decided, rather than staying here, this is their job. This is what they do for a living. But God has spoken. And so I'd rather obey God than simply hang on to this occupation. Are you all listening to me?
Yes.
So that's the consideration. That's the consideration that we see right here. They've decided that they want firsthand knowledge. Then we see obedience. You got verse 16? Look at verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And then finally, verse 20, Shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that he had heard and seen and had told them. So I want you to see here that when they obeyed God, God gave them a unique personal experience. There's no way they would have had this experience if they'd stayed out there, what, tending the sheep. They'd have kept their job, but they wouldn't have had the joy of this experience. And I'm talking to all of us. All of us like to be in that place of comfort, but when God speaks to you, if you really want to have joy, if you really want to know and to enjoy the presence of God, you got to be willing to get out of your what? Your comfort zone. You understand what I'm saying? Yes? Now, it's easy to nod our heads and say yes right now, but I'm telling you, this is the issue. All of us have places that we are comfortable. But God is about helping us what? Move what? You know that old story about how an eagle gets the little eaglets to fly? You know that story? The eagle, mother eagle, knows that the eaglets will stay in that nest if she lets them. So eventually that mother eagle knows when it's time for them to fly. And that mother eagle will do what? Eventually push them out of the nest. They don't know it, but once you get out there and you got to fly, when you are made to fly, what? You fly. But some of us need that what? That extra push to get out there and see. And so they had this wonderful experience because they were willing to take, and I don't know how to best say this. I call it a risk, but you understand. We walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Just because you got a job doesn't mean you're going to keep that job. Don't we know that? Those of us who have worked any place. I've worked for what was considered to be the most secure corporation. And they started laying off. Right? But my God didn't lay off. You understand? Stay with God. Yes, he's faithful. You young people, I know you're pursuing what you want to do as a career now, but you need to listen to God. What looks like a good career now may not be a good career when you get there. Yes? Do what God tells you to do. You understand what I'm saying? You'll never regret that. You may not make as much money as you could have made, but you'll find joy, and you'll have this unique experience that you'll never regret. Yes? And so they were rewarded with this unique experience. And what I'm saying to you then is that you notice that this experience was too extraordinary for them to keep it to themselves. So they went and told. You see verse 17? When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them according to about this child, concerning this child. And then you notice verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Now, we haven't got there yet, but I want you to notice that the shepherds they weren't concerned about what Mary did. We're going to look at Mary next. And they weren't concerned about what the public did. They praised God because I've done what God told me to do. What you do with it is up to you. But when I've done what God called me to do, then I can praise, I can have joy. You see? They went on and glorified God. What you do with it is between you and God. That's what I want all of us to experience. Have joy. When you've done what God called you to do, you got to leave the rest of it up to God, right? You can't make your children believe. You can't make your parents believe. You can't make your aunt and your uncle and your grandma or whoever. Right? But when you have done what he called you to do, you can rejoice and have joy. Yes? Do you understand this? Amen. And so what I'm saying to you is that what we see with the shepherds is that they had a public response. They responded to God publicly with their faith. They spoke openly about it. Now, follow me, because I'm going to try to put this together for you. Now, that's what we see with the shepherds. Now, when we move on to with the shepherds, we see that they had public faith that was expressed. Let's look at Mary real quick. What's Mary's response? The first thing I see with Mary is that she made some observation. You got verse 19? Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. Look at it. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I need to do a little bit technical here for you. The word treasured is the word sunterio, and that word means to store up information, to store it up in your mind so that you can consider it later. You understand? It's like a lot of you students. You know, when I was in college, when some of you students are in school right now, a lot of times in class, you're getting information, you're taking notes or whatever, you're getting the information because you're going to go back to your room or library or somewhere, you're going to what? Study it later. Right now, I just need to what? Get the information. You understand? There are those times as a Christian, I'm just taking in information. That's the way it is sometimes when you're reading the Bible. Yeah? You ever heard that? I'm not necessarily understanding everything I'm reading here, but I'm what? I'm reading it. Right? Any of us that have any experience with life, you know that's the way it is sometimes. You don't have to understand it to experience it. Gather the information because you know you're going to be able to use it, what? Later on. You follow me? So when I said she treasured, that's that word. She stored up information in her mind so that she could give careful consideration later on. Mary collected her observations because she was going to have later meditation or later consideration. You follow me? Everybody with me? I'm moving kind of fast, but I want you to get this. I call that Mary's observation. Then I want you to see that Mary didn't just observe. She didn't just take in information, but she then considered it. Just like the shepherds considered it, Mary did too. You back at verse 19? You see what she did? It says, Mary treasured up these things, right? That's what I'm calling the observation. But then it said, pondering them in her heart. That's another word, sumbalo. And that means to give careful thought to a subject matter. You students, again, when you're taking your notes and getting information, you're not thinking about it, right? Some of you all take shorthand, or some of you may use a recorder. I don't know what you use. But what are you doing? I'm just getting the information right now. I'm not thinking a lot about it. I'm just getting the information in. When I get some time, I'm going to what? Give it some careful consideration. That's the way we see Mary handling this matter. She handled the matter by treasuring it up and then by pondering it, giving it careful thought and careful consideration. What's your point, Brother Riley? I want you to notice that verse 19 begins with that. You see that word? That little three-letter word? But. Why is but there? It's bringing what? A contrast. Mary's response was what? Different. Now, in this particular case, Mary's response is different from the public, which we're going to look at next. But her response is also different from the shepherds. And what I'm saying to you, Mary's response wasn't public. It was what? Private. And what I'm saying to you is, that's okay. Everybody doesn't respond, what, the same way. Yes? That's okay. I want you to see that what we had with the shepherds is what I call public expression of their faith. What we had with Mary is what I call private. She exercised her faith privately. That doesn't make her less effective than the shepherds. It just means that God dealt with her, what, differently. Aren't you thankful that God knows you and deals with you as you and not someone else? Yes? Our God, he's a wonderful father. He really, and he knows his children. So you follow me so far? The shepherds' response was public and open. They expressed their faith. Mary's faith was held closely and privately. Now, the last response that I want you to look at and think about with me is what I call the public's response. When you look at verse 18, we get the public's response. Verse 18 simply reads, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." That's the public's response. Now you say, "Well, Brother Willie, that sounds all right." It's really not. It's really not all right at all. It's not all right at all. And I want to show you why. First of all, they heard it. They heard the good news. They heard the gospel. They heard about Jesus. They heard about the Savior. They heard about the Christ, and they heard about the Lord. And so what that means is that many people heard the good news, but they didn't believe it. They didn't exercise faith. It just sounds really, really good. And many people come to church for that reason. I love the music, or I love the teaching, or I love the preaching, and it just sounds good. I'm telling you, that is not good. Now, I'm saying, if that's all, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you should, hopefully, I'm thankful that you enjoy good teaching and preaching, but don't let it stop there. Yes? Hearing without obedience is dangerous. I'm not trying to frighten anybody, but you're going to leave here today in a dangerous position, because you will know more than you. I'm not trying to say I'm revealing something so wonderful, but I am saying that what we say today, you will leave here today not being able to say, I don't know that anymore. Yes? So the question is, what are you going to do with what you heard? What are you going to do with what you know? I'm saying to you, we're looking at a group here that decided to do nothing. They heard the good news. Now, I want to tell you why I say that. You see that? Can you find that in Matthew 7? Most of you have heard this before, seen it before. But if you could just flip over there. If you don't, that's all right. Just listen to it. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Most of you have heard this before. Listen to it. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. Okay? So he's saying the person who hears it and does it is like a wise man. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. That's one group of people. Now let's look at the other group of people. You ready? You got verse 26? Everybody there? And everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the flood came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And what? Great was the fall of it. That's the reason I'm saying it's dangerous for you to hear and plan to do nothing. James says, therefore be doers, what? Of the word, and not what? Hearers only. Yes? When you hear it, plan to do it. So that's what I mean by hearing. The public's response, first of all, was hearing. And then they have amazement. I call it amazement. Let me get back over here to Luke chapter 2. Because there's an important word in there that I want to point out to you. In Luke chapter 2, verse 18, it says, and all who heard it, there's the word right there, wondered. See? Just a little bit technical again. That word is thaumazo. Thaumazo. You've heard the word enthusiasm? That's where we get enthusiasm from, that Greek word thaumazo. And so what that means is to be extraordinarily impressed by something, right? To be disturbed, to be in awe, be awestruck by something. And you see it all the time in the scriptures. People see a miracle and they're just awestruck by it. But I'm saying to you, for all of us, just because a person is amazed doesn't mean they're saved. You understand? Think of all of the people that saw all of the miracles in the Bible and never came to Christ. You got many people today that say, if I was there, if I ever saw Jesus raise somebody from the dead, I believe. That's not true. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you have the word of God. Remember when Lazarus died and went to hell and said, Lord, go back and what? Let me go back. Let me go back from the dead and warn my brothers and then they'll believe. Jesus says, no, no, no. If they've got the word of God, and if they don't believe the word of God, they will not believe you, even if you came back from the dead. Miracles do not make people believe.
Amen.
It'll amaze them. Yes? So the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it, what? It's the power of God to salvation.
Amen.
The gospel is what saves, not miracles.
Yes?
Yes? Now, I thank God for miracles. I've been a recipient of some. You probably have too. You've probably been a recipient of a miracle and didn't even know it. We've been blessed with things happening aware and unaware. We entertain angels and all. God is so good to us.
Yes.
I lived these 67 years, not because I was so slick and clever, I thought I was. But I can look back on it now and know that God was taking care of me.
Amen.
Yeah? Yeah. And so they wondered. They were thaumazo. So I'm saying to you, enthusiasm and astonishment is not salvation. I want to read those three verses, and then we'll try to pull it all together. Y'all familiar with this text? You remember over in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, when all of these crowds were following Jesus. You remember that? They're getting free fish sandwiches and that whole thing. And so people have a tendency to follow when there's free food. And so they were following Jesus around because he was feeding them. But you know, Jesus will let you go along for a while, but he's going to call you out. Yep. So, you know, like in John chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate." You get that? You can't get more clear than that, can you? I mean, if you believe the scriptures, that's sometimes the scriptures just put it right there in your face and help you see. God isn't playing games. You may think you've been asleep with God. He knows it. He knows it from the... Don't you see that sometimes with your children? Children think parents are so stupid.
Yeah.
You look at them and you see it coming. You know what they're going to say. You know what they're going to... Are you young people? I hate to bust your bubble. But we've been there. We've been you. And I see you coming from across the room. I used to be you. And for you to think, you see? And so for us to think we can pull something on God, come on. He knows everything. He knows all about us.
That's right.
And then occasionally he calls you out. Now that's a good thing. We need to be called out so we can realize that I'm not as slick as I thought I was. Yeah? So you see what Jesus does there? Jesus answered them, "Truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Then you go down to verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. But I said to you, you have seen me, and yet," you see that? "Do not," what? "Believe." That's what I'm saying. Enthusiasm, astonishment, it just is not salvation. I'm thankful if you have seen miracles. I'm thankful if you've been amazed by God. But until you come to Christ, you're not saved. Yes?
Amen.
You've got to come to Christ. Jesus saves, not miracles.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that he blesses me. But blessings don't save me. Food, cars, houses, health. And it's sad to say that the church is preaching all that. The church is preaching that as to draw people. Don't come to get a house. Don't come to Jesus to get a house. You're going to leave this house behind. What is a house going to matter 10,000 years from now?
Right.
Who cares about what car you had, what job you had 10,000, 100,000 years from now? Yes? Come to Christ. The one who has the Son has what? The life. Come to him. Yes? Come to him. And so, you see this now? I want to kind of wrap it up. You kind of see what we got here, the three responses. The shepherd's response was public faith. The Mary's response was what I call private faith. But I want you to see that the public's response is what I call private unbelief. They didn't say much. They experienced it and they heard it, but they just went off. That's like many people that come to church. You come and it looked like you enjoyed everything. You know, you sang, you clapped, you experienced it all. But then you just left. You understand what I'm saying here? See, that's private unbelief. And you think nobody knows. Yeah, I don't know. But I promise you, God knows.
Yes, he does.
Yeah? That's the reason I call it dangerous. You can fake me out, but you can't fake God out. It's just like Judas. Do you know Judas was so good in his unbelief that he deceived all of the other 11? When Jesus said, one of you will deceive me, what did they all say? Is it me? Because I certainly can't. I can't tell it's Judas. He's so good at faking it that he looks like he's the real deal to me. And I'm saying to all of you, please don't let that be you. Why would you fake it? It's not worth it to fake it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm pleading with you. Stop faking it. Be real with God. All right, as we wrap up then, my question is, what's your response today? For the past 5 weeks, I've told you the good news. For the past 5 weeks, I've told you that Jesus has already been born, yes? Told you that he's the only Savior. He's the only Christ. He's the only Lord. If you have already been saved, if he's already saved you, then you should be filled with joy, what? Right now. He's already saved you. You should have the readiness to take the good news to someone who doesn't know right now, just like the shepherds did. Amen? Do not be ashamed of the gospel. If you are a believer, you have no reason to be ashamed of the gospel. Go and tell someone. Amen. Go tell someone. They don't know.
Yes.
Or maybe you're like Mary. You already believed, but you're still kind of soaking it all in. You've already believed, you've already come to Christ, but you're still just kind of soaking it all in. God is showing you more about himself. That's okay. God is showing you more about yourself, and that's okay. You're not ready to share yet, you see? You don't have to emulate everybody. Some people are ready right away. They get saved and they're ready to go tell someone. But others, they take more time to meditate on it. They want to soak it in, okay? You be you, but make sure you exercise real what? Faith. If you hear it, believe it. Come to Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm asking you again, what's your response? You like the shepherds or you like Mary? Are you still just kind of soaking it all in before you get ready to go witness? But I will tell you this. I certainly hope you're not like the public here.
Amen.
I certainly hope you're not like the masses of people that heard the good news and did not believe it in order to be saved. I'm telling you, you are putting yourself in a dangerous position if that's where you are today. Many of you have heard the gospel for weeks, for months, for years. And you've heard it and enjoyed it, and you keep walking away. And I'm telling you, it's dangerous, it's dangerous, it's dangerous. When you know the truth about Christ and you will not believe, that's dangerous. When you know the truth about salvation and you will not believe, that's dangerous. When you know the truth about sin and you will not believe, that's dangerous. When you know the truth about Satan and will not believe, that's dangerous. When you know the truth about heaven and about hell and will not believe, I'm telling you, that's dangerous. When you know the truth about eternal life and eternal condemnation and will not believe, that is dangerous. When you know the truth about light and about darkness and will not believe, that is dangerous. When you know the truth about liberty and slavery and will not believe, that's dangerous. When you know the truth about love and hatred and you will not believe, that is dangerous. When you know the truth about forgiveness and condemnation, and you will not believe, that is dangerous. Don't be in that group. Please, 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 please don't be in that group. I'm begging you. Come to Christ today. And if you are in that group, you don't have to stay in that group. You can come out right now. Jesus came to what? Seek and save who? The lost. Stop denying. If you're lost, don't deny it anymore. Come to Christ what? Now. He's already been born. He's not coming back to be born again. There's no other Savior to come. I'm telling you, that is the good news. And the good news is he's here right now to save you right now. You don't have to wait another day. You don't have to get your stuff together. There is no stuff to get together. Jesus wants you to come to him as you what? As you are. Isn't that good news? That's the good news. I've been trying to get it together. I was 28 years old before God saved me. I couldn't get it together. And even though we all lie, say I'm trying to get it together, I wasn't trying to get it together. I was trying to do my thing. Yes? And so be honest. Be real today. You can't get this thing together on your own. You can't get good enough to be saved. Jesus has already done that for you. Isn't that good? He's already lived a perfect life for you. He's already died for every sin that you will ever commit. And he's already risen from the dead to prove to you he's conquered death, the grave, and hell. You don't have any reason to fear death, because for this Christian, when you die, when you actually breathe your last breath, your soul departs, absent from the body and what? Present with the Lord. Whoa, isn't that wonderful? This is the good news. This is the good news. Eternal life is how long? Eternal. Once you have it, you have it. Lord, would you please just make these truths clear to us today. I don't know what else to say, Lord. Those of us who know Christ are so thankful that you found us when we were so lost, and you opened our hearts to hear and believe the gospel, to lay hold of Christ, to come to him in faith and be saved. You have given us the grace to tell others. You've helped us to take that meditation time and to sit alone with Christ and to enjoy his presence as Mary did. But if there is one here today that truly does not know Christ, would you grant them the grace and faith to come out of that darkness into the light of Christ, to come out of that slavery to Satan and sin into the liberty of Jesus Christ? Do it for your own glory, for the progress of the kingdom of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let's bow together for just a few minutes and